What else I was going to ask you about the novel, that in some ways I wondered how, if you've had any reaction from Native organizations, mm-hmm. because throughout, you know, it's very much placed in 1885, mm-hmm. so it's in that time, and much of the, you know, the point of view from the military is that conquering sort Absolutely. Of a thing, and how did you do that? And you also, again, your Native, the Natives that they meet along the way are fictional as yeah. well, so everything yeah. is, and it's not really a tribe. And then you also, the only real similarity with the Snow Child is the magic.
Right, right.
And perhaps you could talk a little about that.
Absolutely. No, and it was something I was very much aware of as I was writing. And I think there's a really interesting discussion happening, and it's sort of intensified, about appropriation. You know, how can one culture write about another in a way that, you know, and there's some people who are saying it doesn't matter. You just write whatever you want to, and you just have complete artistic freedom. And then there's other people who are saying, no, you have no right to try to describe someone else's culture or step into it. And I just tried to walk the middle, I guess, because I felt like to write a book about Alaska at that time and basically the beginning of colonialism, and to not talk about the effect on the indigenous populations and not to share parts of their stories would be kind of like putting blinders on. It's just not realistic. But also it was so much a part of the experience for these men when they were going up the river. And what I did is I got to a certain point in the book and I was feeling sort of increasingly uncomfortable. Like I wasn't sure I was doing things right. And I reached out to this wonderful artist, Argent Kovanoskov, who's up in Inilchik. He's part of the Inilchik tribe. And I had known him because he had arranged a book event for me. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, can I, you know, really young, artistic, intelligent, wonderful, articulate guy who I knew would be we'd have this great conversation. So I said, hey, will you talk with me on the phone about like your experiences growing up here and how you feel about the history of Alaska and all that. And it completely turned a lot of things upside down for me. I was so grateful for the time we spent together, and it kind of opened up all these other ideas. So in ways, a lot of his story and the things he had to say to me are shared in the book through the voice of Josh, who's mm-hmm. one of the modern characters.
Yes.
And so that was how I, you know, and then now Argent's gone on to have a wonderful art show in Homer. And so I got to go down and see that. So I feel like we've got this wonderful friendship that I'm so grateful for. And that's how I chose to approach it and to try to be as knowledgeable and respectful as I could, but also include some of that stuff in there as mm-hmm. well.
And then the birds. Yeah. I love the flight connection with Sophie becomes a photographer of birds.
Right.
And then the part of the magic is the women turn into geese, or
yeah,
they have feathers
yes.
on there, and they fly away, and these soldiers see this and
right.
are just kind of like, whoa, you know, you can hear the music playing and we are in a different world completely.
Yes.
So where did that come from?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I've had people say, do I have sort of like an artistic obsession with birds or something? And I really don't, but I do think that sometimes in fiction, symbols start to kind of pop up, and I started seeing connections in things. And I think I've always loved I have so much admiration for birders and their sort of meticulous attention. I don't have that patience. I don't have that knowledge of birds, but I love the idea of Sophie just sitting out there for so long trying to get this perfect photograph of a bird. And then it did start to tie into, you know, and there's also a raven character. So there's sort of these threads that come through. Sometimes I'm not really sure what all it means even to me, but I feel like there is some interesting stuff going on there.
Well, so that brings me to something too about like the whole creative process and not knowing necessarily where it goes. I mean, where do you think it comes from, and where do you think it's going when you find people who read your novel and they find all these things in it that you might not have even realized were there.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not like an accident.
Yeah. No, and that's what I love about fiction, I think. I think that was the frustration I had as a newspaper reporter, is I felt like I felt like my newspaper articles, no matter how hard I tried, totally oversimplified the world, so that there were good guys and there were bad guys, and there were people who went to jail and people who prosecuted them. And it was this very black and white world that I just felt like never really told the true story, because I think there's just so much ambiguity in life. And that's what I love about fiction, is that I want to explore that ambiguity, and I want readers to, and I want them to discover things that I maybe was subconsciously feeling or thinking, but they're, you know, and they're bringing their own experiences to the page. And I love that. Like, I think there's so much excitement as a writer and a reader of fiction in that, I think.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Oh, you know what? I did want to ask you one more thing, because your name, everybody's always stumbling to pronounce it. So pronounce it one more time.
So it's Eowyn. You pronounce the E like an A, which is what throws everybody.
And also, you were pretty much born literary, right?
I mean, right. Well, my mom, and this is a great chance for me to, my mom is a wonderful
poet. Yes.
And she actually just has her first book out from University of Alaska Press, The Echo of Ice, Letting Go. But yeah, my whole life growing
her
up.
Name?
LeMay. Julie LeMay. Yeah, I believe that Julie, she's his mom, right? My mom, no, and I'm so proud of her, and the book is beautiful, and actually has a painting by a Juno artist, Ian Grant, is the painting that's on the cover of it, so it's really beautiful. But yeah, growing up,
she named you after heroine in
The Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings.
Yes. She's the one who is on the battlefield, and this monster says, "No man will kill me." And she takes off her helmet and says, "I'm no man," and slays the beast. So, wow. But my mom was always reading, and but it's funny, nobody ever recognized the name growing when I was a kid. But now, with the movies out, sometimes I get young people coming, "Oh, that's so cool, it's from The Lord of the Rings."
Now, one more thing. Are you working on anything else now? I know that's the question that no writer wants to hear.
No, I'm always honored when people ask, because I'm glad that anybody cares. But the truth is, I find it hard. I've been traveling so much with the new book, and I just find it's just too interesting. My brain is too busy with all this to really, I almost have to be a little bored, I think, to sit down and write and have my mind sort of take off on these other adventures. So I'm hoping that this fall and winter, when I've got some quiet time, that things will start percolating. We'll see. Fingers crossed. I don't take it for granted, that's for sure.
Oh, wait, no, I did have one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I was saying about this, because I was in Juneau this winter recently, and I understand that The Snow Child is a musical, right?
Yes.
And it's in Washington, D.C. with another Haynes connection, Molly Smith.
Exactly.
Who has a home out at LUTEC here.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
She's the director,
yes.
Right? And
yes.
So how is that all
this
happening?
This is so amazing. So Perseverance Theater, Art, the artistic director there, reached out to me several years ago and said, you know, we're interested in optioning it and hopefully developing it into a stage production. And I think at that point he was hoping, you know, he wanted to work with Molly Smith, and they just have put this together and worked so hard, and it'll come out in Washington, D.C. at Molly Smith's Arena Stage there in D.C. In March of 2018, I'm pretty sure. And then my mom actually just texted me a photograph, because the Anchorage Concert Association brochure came out in everyone's mailboxes, and it's got The Snow Child in it, because it'll open in Juneau and Anchorage after that. So I'm so thrilled. And it's a musical with sort of a bluegrass Americana feel to the music, and I haven't seen it, so it's going to be, I'm just so thrilled to see how it comes out.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah. Well, again, thanks very much. I guess I could just talk to you all morning, but
well,
we've got
I could
other
too.
People I have to talk to. So
it was really wonderful, Heather. Thank you so much for having
me
on.
And really, if you haven't read The Snow Child, which by now you really should have, but especially To the Bright Edge of the World, I just think it's a great summer read, and it's really a good read for those of us in Haynes or Clukwan and Skagway. There's a lot in it that will really hit home.